All right. So the Mishnah that we were speaking about last week will continue. It said, Rabbi Yonah Ezu, Yi Darch Yeshosh Yavalei Adam. What is, it's the first Mishnah in Park Beis. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Kol Shi Tefas Laisa. Anything which is a pe'er, pride, so to speak, an honor, to the one who does it. Or like we've seen certain people translate Laisa as being to he who made you, meaning Hashem. Something that's prideful to Hashem, let's say. This is Faras Lamin Adam, and it also brings pride from other people, earns him pride from other people. So you're speaking about a lot of the Mefarshim, the more Hasidic Mefarshim say, Kol Shihi, Tefaras Laisa, the Kol Shihi means a little bit. That it's really the little bit, that's really the Tefaras that a person should get. Rabbi Yitzchak Mivraditzer said, even every little bit is a prideful to Hashem. But then he says, it's the first, like, why is it a prayer? Right? Hashem has big angels that do great things. So he says, min ha'adam, because it comes from lowly man, Hashem gets much, much more enjoyment from our actions than any celestial being that we do have all the tests that are going on in this world, and we still try to do His will. Another alternative shot, which is very interesting, is from the Divrei Yoel, Stat Meraouf. He says like this. He says also that Kol Shi Tefaras Laisa, Laisa is referring to Hashem. So he quotes the Arizal. Arizal asks, we know that Ezu Avoida Shabalev Zu Tefila, what is considered the service of the heart is davening, is praying. Right? It's a service, something of the heart. So the Arizal already, 500 years ago, asks, if so, so why are we told to daven and make brachas and do all these things aloud? We should just contemplate the words, and it's our service of our heart towards Hashem. So the Arizal answers is that when we daven out loud, it inspires other people around us to come closer to Hashem and to daven also, and to daven with strength. So if so, the Echidah, he found an allusion to this in Ashrei. It says, "Kihilas Hashem yidaber pi." Right, the last pasuk of Ashrei, it says, "My mouth will praise Hashem, and all beings will bless His name, holy name, forever and ever." Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi. So he says, "Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi." He says, "Why is it that my mouth will praise Hashem? Meaning, why am I speaking out the words of prayer if really they should be said in the heart? Why Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi? Vivarach Kol Basu Shem Kodesh Lenu Vad." The answer is because all the other beings, when they see me davening, when you're in a davening, right, you come to those shuls sometimes and you can hear a pin drop, right? So it's very hard to get into it. You come to a shul and everyone's into it, everyone's singing out loud and saying out loud, so you get yourself drawn in. So that's the reason why we daven out loud, is because it inspires everyone around us and it'll bring us up. So the Divrei Yoel applies this Ariza with the Chida to explain our Mishnah. He says, Kol Shehi Tefaras Laisa, he says, and when we pray aloud, it brings a tremendous pride to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Tefaras Laisa. But when we speak out the words, not only that, but it also is Tefaras Lai Min Adam, meaning that it brings other people to be aroused also towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so it's not just a prideful thing that we're doing for ourselves, it's a prideful thing for others. Obviously, you have to know when to do that, but even with that, and learning also, all these things, when you do it with a chiyus, with the energy, so it brings out people around you to also do the same. The Ben Ish Chai, he says that this mission is actually, this line from our Mishnah is actually teaching us a very interesting thing in how do we approach our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our mitzvahs and stuff. So some people say, well, listen, I got to understand what I'm doing, and then I'll do it. That wasn't the Jewish nation's approach. The Jewish nation's approach is Nasa v'Nishma. So this Mishnah is really alluding to that. It says, Kol Shi Tefaras Laisa. The initial reason, impetus of why we do the mitzvahs and why we serve Hashem is because Laisa. Laisa is our creator, is Hashem. Once we come to that, and we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu because He said so, it's the first Lay Min Adam, then we can start gaining an understanding Min Adam from people, meaning from our intellect. Right? That's why it says, I think always, at least over there, it says, Nasa v'nishma. A few times, if you read the parshas over there by Kabbalah Satorah, the Yidden said, Nasa, we're going to do. So wait a minute, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, incredible, that's amazing, and all the songs would have one less word in it, Anything you say, Nasa, we're going to do. Because that's the whole godless of Klal Yisrael, is that we say, we're just going to do Hashem's will. We don't need to understand. So then why wasn't the whole excitement over the few times, two times that they said before then, nasa, because there's a concept of anishma, meaning our nasa is not some blind faith that we say we're just listening to the king and we don't want to have any understanding. No. We don't need any understanding, meaning if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives us an understanding, we're still going to do all the mitzvahs till the day we die. However, from our perspective, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're doing the mitzvahs, and we want to have the nishma, we want to hear, we want to understand with our intellect incredible things about what we're doing. And that's the godless of Kadosh, so that they want to have that, and we go through that, and once we do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give us the nishma. So that's what he's saying over here, the Mishnah is alluding to such a thing, called Shitifas Laisah, anything that's a pe'er for Hashem, first Levin or Adam, then the first stage is just doing it for Hashem, and then the second stage is for man to understand things himself. A lot of the Mefarshim, going back to the Rishonim, ask a question. It says in this Mishnah, we start at Perek Beis, Eizi Derech Yeshua Sheyavah LeAdam. What's the right path for a man to choose? Mefarshim asks, what? You know, this is the Torah Shabbat Peh. We have the entire 613 mitzvahs. What type of a question is this? We have all the 613 mitzvahs, we have all the Torah Shabbat Peh. There's no questions, which path should you choose? You have it set out for you. You're Jewish, you have the mitzvahs to do that. So what's the Mishnah saying? What path should a path choose? And then the answer is very, hazy, you know? We've had all these pshatim, but the maestra and the simple pshat, it's koshi fast, it says, and it's prideful to your creator, and prideful to people. So, what is this coming to ask? What is it coming to teach us? So the Meiri, he answers that it has to do with an advice in Torah learning. There's a Gemara that says that although we're all commanded to learn the entire Torah, every person has a fear to learn the entire Torah, but the places in the Torah that appeal to us the most are the places where we should put the most focus on. That's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah 19a speaks about. So the Yismach Moshe then says, that's what the Mishnah could be explaining to us. He says, what is the proper path, Sheyavar Loi La'adam, that a person should choose? Meaning this is a person is not exactly sure what he should learn. So then the Mishnah says, "Kol shi'tefaras le'aisel," anything which is a pe'er for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which in this context is le'aisel, is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's context for the whole Jewish world. Meaning for people in general, people like to learn Gemara, be'ian, with the Gemara Rashi, Tosfos, and then they look at the Mefarshim and they get a Geshmak, right? That's the what do we call the Seder Yeshivas? You know, this is the way yeshivas learn. So fine, that's the way a person not sure how to learn. So he starts learning like that. But the Teferas Levin Adam, then he has to find within that, he realizes that when he learned that and he got good at it a little bit and he starts to learn it, he realizes that he likes to learn it going through the Rashi very, very in depth. And when he learned the Rashi so in depth and broke apart each word in the Rashi, and then he learned the Tosfos, it was like very easy to him. And then every time he was always going back to the Rashi. So he found within that limud, or whatever it is, that he loves learning Rashi. I had a chavrusa like this. He was a Rashiid and a Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua is one of the Mefarshim. Ironically enough, he was the one he was the Rebbe of the Magen Mezrich before he was the Magen Mezrich when he was a Litvish student. And the Magen was very sick. So Rav Falk, the Pnei Yeshua, said, go to the Baal Shem Tov, he'll give you a healing. And he gave him healing and he gave him a whole Torah to Hasidus. So Pnei Yeshua was very Litvish, but he was, so to say, the forefather of Hasidus. So my chavrusa, he used to love the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua's main thing in life, apparently, was to defend Rashi. Right? There's a Gemara, Rashi explains the Gemara, and then Tosfos just breaks up Rashi and says, he doesn't know what he's talking about, this is not true, and that's not right. And the Pnei Yeshua comes and says, Tosfos doesn't know what he's talking about, because it is Rashi's right, you know? So this chavrusa of mine, everything was like the Pnei Yeshua defending Rashi. He was just a Rashi. So, whatever a person is, and a lot of people don't find any chios from doing that at all. So, listen, there is definitely something to be said for learning Gemara Rashi and Tosfos no matter what, you know. But a person that finds halacha is the thing that he talks to him most, so he has to really delve into halacha. Like what the Yismach Moshe and the Meiri said, a person has to learn the whole Torah. So he'll have a Seder and Gemara, have a Seder thing, but the thing that speaks to him the most, he'll really connect to the most. And that's what this Mishnah is again alluding to. If we can draw out even more advice in life from just these, you know, 10 words, you should go after, if you're not sure what to learn in general, what people are learning. But you have to find that which speaks to the person himself, that will actually bring out the chiyas in his own neshama connecting to the Torah. Rashi, Rishon, speaking of Rashi, himself sees the same lesson to be learned, but in a much more broader sense, rather than focusing just on Torah. Rashi says that is a person in life in general. So there's the Torah, but some people connect to it in different ways. Everyone connects to it in different ways. And so some people, they just love to learn and learn and learn. They could be like, you know, a little brain in a box. They could sit in a base medrash for 50 years and not move and just think in the Torah. And some people can't sit straight. They like jumping off their seat. They need to go and do and help and get tzedakah organizations and Hatzalah and do 18 different things to help people. So he says that. That's basically the thing. So you have to find, in general, what is a good path for everyone. But then you really have to find your own path and find that and do that. Like there's a famous thing that I've seen brought down sometimes. If you find the work that you love to do, then you'll never work a day in your life, right? Because you love to do it. So you're not really working. Oh, but you're sitting, you know, behind the computer. But he loves computers, you know. He loves making programs and things. It's a big cloud in life that a person has to find that place within the Torah or within in general in life that he loves to do, and that will bring out most chias, the most energy that he has to bring out the uniqueness of what he has to bring out to this world. Simcha Bunim Pshischa, he carries this on, and he says a very interesting thing. He says also that a person has to find his personal path, kind of continuing with these people, what they're saying. A person has to find his personal path. He loves doing this, he loves learning this, he loves doing this, and he's doing that. But then once he finds that, that's the Teferas, he learns that that's the Teferas Loisa. To the person that's doing it, that he who's doing it, he has to find that path. But then, the Teferas Lemin Adam, sometimes the person finds his path. He becomes a Baal Tshuva, or he becomes Basler, or he becomes Hasidish, and then, all the other Hasidim, all the other people, they don't know what they're talking about, they're not really on the mark, and he writes off all the other paths of Judaism. So that is what the Mishnah is warning against. Anything that's a Teferas to you, you found it, great, but don't forget the Teferas Lemin Adam. There are people that have other paths and other things, and they bring splendor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also very much. I just saw, since the Zaman was ending in the yeshiva that I teach in the afternoon, the rest of the week really, so they gave out this little pamphlet that was written by an Aish guy a bunch of years ago, and how to traverse Bina Zaman. Really for a guy that, you know, came to Aish with a backpack, long hair, became religious, now he's going back to his family in Montana, and they don't know what Judaism is, but he's really sharp, he's already wearing a white shirt, and he's learning the Stone Edition Chumash, and he's, you know, amazing, so he's going to come back. So this guy gave him advice. He says, instead of coming to the Shabbos table, you know, if you get them to sit down at a Shabbos meal, and coming and giving a long 15-minute discourse on the highlights of the Parsha, you know, and then three parim and four aisles were given. Isn't that amazing, you know? He said, instead, why don't you ask them, did anyone see something that was just beyond coincidence in the last couple of weeks in your life? Like, can anyone share something that it happened and you couldn't explain it? And then they say, yeah, one time I was like running in the bus and then this whole thing and I met some guy. And then you're like, do you know that God runs the world like that? That God's actually running not only your life, not only in that moment, but every person's life, every moment that way, and then bring in the conversation like that. Which is very clever, meaning you recognize that people are holding in different places, and in order to connect to them, you're not just gonna tell them, you know, the parsha, you're gonna have to bring them in a proper way. That's in regards to Kirov, but also in it's a level of respect. A level of respect of understanding where everyone else is holding at that particular time. This now brings us to the next part of the Mishnah, that as much as we think we might know what the right path is, you know, we found the path, but the next part of the Mishnah tells us, of Zoyer b'mitzvah kalak v'chamura. Be very careful in the small, minor mitzvahs, as you would in a major, big one. Because you don't know the schar, the reward that's really given for mitzvahs. Which means that, in the end of the day, you know, we have all these things that we're doing, but we really don't know what's going on in the spiritual realms with all these things that we're doing. Because, as the Bartanur explains, the positive commandments, it doesn't say anything what's going to be. There are a few of them that have some exceptions, like keep it out of aim, it says you're going to get long life, but very rarely does the Torah mention, you're going to shake a lulav, that's going to happen. It leaves it totally blank. Do the mitzvahs. By the averos, the Bartanur says, there it says, this avera, skila. This avera, chanek. This avera, malchus. There's all sorts of things going on in the averos, but in the mitzvahs it's not. So the Tiferes Yisrael takes that a step further in explaining it. He says that the reason why this was, I mean, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the Torah like that, is because doing the mitzvah doesn't have so much to do with the quantity of how much I'm listening to Hashem. I did 13 mitzvahs today, D'oraisa, and 62 mitzvahs D'rabbanan. No, that's not what it's about. He says that each mitzvah brings a completion, a specific completion, a shlemus to the neshama, to the soul. So he says, the soul has entire body, just like the body. It's a structure, the soul. It's not just this round blob of light, right? It's actually an entire body, and therefore it needs to be nourished also. So just like wine and gold, these things might be very valuable to the body, right? People like fine wines, they gold watches and things like that. But at the end of the day, water and iron, he says, are very much more needed for the human race to exist, right? It exists without wine and gold, but water sustains us physically, and iron, which gives us the ability to build great things and tools and everything, is much more necessary. He says the same thing applies to mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are what sustains the structure of the soul. And therefore, in as much as the soul needs to have big mitzvahs, right? A guy is fasting in Yom Kippur, he's in the Elah, and he's shuffling, and he's like in the Olamos. But in the end of the day, his neshama might need some water right then. He might need, in a different time, in a different place, whatever it is, he might just need to open up a Gemara and learn a little Gemara Rashi, you know? Because we don't know exactly where the neshama and what the neshama needs at that moment. But being that that's the case, the Kadosh Baruch Hu hid the reward for the mitzvahs. Therefore, we wouldn't necessarily know even what is the water and what is the wine when it comes to the mitzvahs. Therefore, by following the Torah's ways, by fasting in Yom Kippur and doing those things in the Elah, and by waking up and trying to learn and doing the Tehillat Yadayim, by doing all of these things, we are sustaining the soul with the proper balance that the Torah deemed. And by doing that, we give it the proper balance. My father always gives the mashal when it comes to fits in what we said before also, learning Chassidus versus learning Gemara and things like that. So he says, you know, you gotta have the meat and potatoes. You know, you sit there, Chassidus, he says, is like spices, salt. So you sit there and you have a plate and you put, you know, all the oregano and spices and salt, and you take a spoonful, you're gonna throw up pretty quickly, right? Because you're just having spices all day. You have a nice piece of meat, you learn a black Gemara, and then you learn some halacha, you have some potatoes, and then you pour on some chassidus on it, you pour some spices, and it tastes delicious. And the opposite is also true. You sit there, you know, unless you're British, you sit there with a bland piece of meat with no salt, you're like, you know, it's nice, but it's missing a lot. So you sit there learning all day, but you don't have some flavor in your food, in your chiesto also. So just like we say, we don't know necessarily the workings of the mitzvahs, but we have to do it all. And if you look into, you know, some people get very carried away with this, with that, with doing that very much, with this very much, but if you look at what the Rebbe speaks about, and what all the tzaddikim speak about, is always do the mitzvahs, do all the mitzvahs of chiyas, you know, and learn all the Torah. No Rebbe would say like, yeah, Gemara is geshmak, it's good for some people, but just learn, you know. They all say, you know, the Rebbe, someone asked him, what should I learn? So he said, okay, for each year you have to learn Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Zoyar, Arizal, what else did he say? Tanakh, Mishnah. He said basically, Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, but all of it, you know, your soul needs all of it. The Torah has an aura, but and all the mitzvahs have an aura, but we need basically to have a very well-rounded thing. And by listening to the tzaddikim and listening to the mitzvahs, we get all of the mitzvahs that nourish our soul properly with the proper balance, and we get all of the Torah, the light of the Torah that can nourish our soul also with a very proper balance. The Or Yitzchak, the Rebbe of Radvil, can't say I know who that is, but that's who he is. He continues with a similar theme. He says that the point of the mitzvah is to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's not just to do mitzvahs, it bonds us to Hashem. He says, but when we have ulterior motives, so then basically it diminishes the effect and the power that the mitzvahs bind us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're doing it for X, Y, and Z, so it's not going to bind us so much. He says, therefore, the mitzvahs were all hidden, the rewards. Because if we're going to see, you know, if I do lulav, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises me, you know, like the Muslims, you know, a nice piece of some amazing part in heaven, you know, with some imaginary thing, you know, 30 lamb chops, you know, rack of lamb chops, primed and spiced the way I like it, you know. So he's going to be doing the mitzvahs for lamb chops, and I'm going to do it for the mitzvah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid all of the rewards, and therefore the Yid has the chance to do it with a little more intent that I'm just doing it for you. And by doing it with such intent, it bonds us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and brings about what it really was meant to do. The Baal Shem Kaddish says, he says that because we don't really know the mitzvahs, what they really bring, so he says to make sure you do every single mitzvah properly. No matter what, big, small, do it well. He says, why? What's the point in doing the little mitzvahs, right? I got a little collector's coming, and I'm in the middle of davening. Well, I'm going to give him a shekel. Sometimes you feel like even, you know, you look in your bag and you don't even have a shekel. You have 20 agurot. why should I give the guy 20 agorot? Some of them, you know, throw it back in your face, but in general, they take it, you know, but it's 20 agorot, it's a pruta, you know, it's 5 pennies, you know, why would I give it to the guy? I'm davening anyways. No, he says, do every mitzvah. Why? Because he says, have a zohir b'mitzvah kala. He says, be zohir, literal translation, be careful with the mitzvah's kalas. But he says, zohir is from the lashon of zohar. Zohar is shine, is light, illumination. He says, why? Because every mitzvah, the big and small, brings a tremendous illumination to the neshama, the soul. And we have no idea what that illumination is going to bring, but it's going to illuminate the soul. Therefore, we have to make sure to do every single one, no matter what they are. A lot of times we find ourselves and we're in a situation where we're just out of it. We're out of it. You're not learning what it is, and you get all of it, and you start speaking and schmoozing, and then you're not sure, you think you're having a coffee and this and that, and you're just out of it, and you just can't seem to get yourself back in. Mishnah is teaching us that it's Zohar, according to the Baal Shem, to just grab a mitzvah, whatever it is. The Lubavitcher Rebbe always used to say that. You're in a rut, do a mitzvah. You're not feeling good, do a mitzvah. You're not sure what to do, do a mitzvah. Give a coin to tzedakah, say give it to tehillah. No matter what it is, by doing a mitzvah, it starts to open you up and bring you back to doing mitzvahs. And that brings you, it illuminates your soul a little bit, you start to get a little illumination, it brings you further and further. And the Zichron Yitzchak actually sees this vort in the words of the mitzvah, in the Mishnah. He says, it says in the Mishnah, Avizoyer b'mitzvah kala kalachamura. It says, be careful in a mitzvah. Mitzvah is singular. The light ones, the big ones. She'einat yodeh amat nischon shal mitzvos. You don't know what's the schar for mitzvos, doing many mitzvos. So he says, he asks, why does it say mitzvah and then mitzvos? It's really, both of them is talking about many, but why mitzvah, mitzvos? So he says that it's alluding to you that if you are a zoyer b'mitzvah kala, you're a zoyer to do any mitzvah that comes your way. One mitzvah, it's going to bring you to a lot of mitzvahs. Mitzvah gereres, mitzvah like it says in the Pirkei Avos later on. You do one mitzvah, it brings a lot more mitzvahs, and it gets you on the track of doing good. If Simcha Bunim, if Shishcha, in the end, he says, to end the Mishnah for today, I mean, it's not, we've still got a bunch of pages left for this Mishnah, it's quite a big Mishnah. He says like this, he says, the Mishnah is actually telling us not to be as careful in the light ones as in the big ones, but to be more careful in the light ones than the big ones. He says, why? Because the big ones, in general, people are more into them, right? It comes to lulav, the guy sitting there with a microscope, and he's spending hours doing it, and it comes to kippur, a guy's, you know, filing his nails, and brushing his teeth before he goes to the mikvah. All the big mitzvahs, people are very into it. They're very involved in it. But the little mitzvahs, the guy saying Ashmiyotza, the guy's, you know, giving coins to Zaka, or whatever it is doing, so they get trampled upon. So he says, the Mishnah is telling us to be even more careful, because those are the ones that sometimes get trampled upon, and those are the ones we have to be, in a sense, more focused on, and make sure that they get the respect that they, the proper respect that they deserve. So it should help us, we should see all the good. These things we spoke about.